This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome to CBS Mornings on this Tuesday. I'm Gail King.
I'm Nate Burleson.
And I'm Vladimir Zutier.
I know you've heard about it, the federal mask mandates for travelers. It is no longer in effect. Americans can now board planes. You can ride the trains without wearing your mask. A federal judge in Florida ruled the CDC exceeded its authority in requiring masks on aircraft and public transit. It's unclear, though, if the ruling will be appealed. Errol Barnett is at Reagan National Airport just outside Washington with more on this story. Good morning, Errol. A lot of people a little confused this morning.
Yeah, that's right, Gail. Good morning, and for good reason. Look, here's what we know. Despite the recent extension, the raging public debate, and all the effort to keep this on travelers' faces, for the first time in more than a year, I can speak to you maskless from inside an airport. So far, there is no legal challenge to Monday's federal court ruling. So effectively, the government's mask mandate for travel is done.
Transportation Security Administration will no longer enforce the federal mandate requiring masks in all U.S. airports and on board aircraft.
Cheers erupted on flights Monday afternoon after airlines announced one by one an end to the mask mandate, dubbed by some National Unmasking Day.
It's over immediately. Congratulations.
This comes after a Florida federal judge ruled the CDC exceeded its authority. Travel industry analyst Henry Hardeveld.
How much of a surprise was this to you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, a 12.
The ruling from Trump-appointed Judge Catherine Kimball Mazel came as unwelcome news for the Biden administration.
This is obviously a disappointing decision. The CDC continues recommending wearing a mask in public transit.
The move essentially forces the federal government out of the mask rulemaking business, a policy which increasingly led to violent altercations.
Has the age of mask mandates while traveling come to an end?
I believe the age of having to wear a mask while traveling has ended.
Now travelers may decide to mask up or not.
It's ridiculous. We're so tired of it.
It's a preventive measure. If they tell me, for example, I don't have to wear seatbelts anymore, I'll still wear my seatbelts.
Still, some eagerly embrace the end of one of the most high-profile COVID mandates.
Pretty incredible there. Now, we want to clarify, this applies to all transit, right? Amtrak, your local buses, trains and subways and ferries. Uber has extended, or I should say ended, its mask policy for drivers and passengers. But there is likely to be some confusion along the way. Places like New York, for example, keeping mask mandates for state-run public transportation. And I should highlight to you that while I have my mask off now, around here at Reagan National, most travelers are still deciding to keep their masks on. So you should keep these handy.
Errol, I hear you. I'll have my mask right here just in case I want to use it. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Nikki Batiste is in Philadelphia this morning where a new mask mandate just took effect. Nikki, good morning.
Nate, good morning. It's really a mixed bag here in Philly. The mandate is already facing a legal battle from defiant businesses and residents who say it goes a step too far. But local health officials insist the move could help stave off another wave of COVID amid a sharp spike in cases.
for the Philadelphia 76ers.
A glance at the crowd at last night's 76ers game, and you might not have known. Philadelphia's indoor mask mandate went into effect on Monday, as the city's Department of Public Health said that new COVID cases had increased by more than 50% in the last 10 days.
When masks have been mandated and when they haven't, have you seen a direct correlation in how your business is?
Yeah, when masks were mandated, people are less inclined to go out.
Yehuda Seychell told us he believes the reinstated mandate is a mistake that could hurt his restaurant. He's not alone. A lawsuit filed against the city on Saturday claims the policy flouts the authority of state lawmakers.
Philadelphia actually did away with the CDC guidelines as a standard, and they've invented their own guidelines.
Because cases in Philadelphia County still qualify as low by the federal standard, the CDC suggests that people choose to wear a mask. But
the role of the CDC is really to provide minimum guidelines.
Dr. Celine Gounder is an infectious disease specialist and a former member of the Biden administration's COVID advisory board.
Local jurisdictions can choose to be more conservative based on the needs and desires of their local population.
Yeah, I probably would be upset if I lived in Philly.
Brian Ferrillo came from outside the city to see the Sixers play last night. And although he's not sold on the mandate,
if it gets me in to see the Sixers, I'll wear the mask.
And a sign of just how complicated this issue is, Pennsylvania's Regional Public Transit Authority, known as SEPTA, said overnight it would not enforce the city's mask mandate on local transit in line with that federal judge's ruling voiding such mandates. Gail?
All right, Nikki, thank you very much. We're joined now by infectious disease expert. That's Dr. Celine Gounder. She's also editor-at-large at the Public Health at Kaiser Health News. Good to see you, Dr. Gounder. Boy, help us sort this all out. There are a lot of people that are cheering, as you saw on the plane, saying it's about time. Still others are saying this makes no sense. What do you think? Is this a good idea to lift the mask at this time?
The CDC had delayed lifting of the mask mandate on public transportation, including airplanes, just for another 2 weeks. Right now, we're waiting to see how this new BA2 variant, this newer subvariant of Omicron, how that's going to play out across the country. And if it turns out to be pretty mild, the CDC was planning to let those mandates expire. I am concerned that we just don't have quite enough information yet, and another 2 weeks was really the appropriate cautious approach here.
And what about people that have, you know, highly compromised immune systems? What does this mean for them?
We are now in a phase of the pandemic where we have put the onus entirely on those who are immunocompromised to protect themselves. That means that we need to make sure that they have access to high-quality masks, the best masks possible. So that would mean either an N95 or a KN95. The other thing to remember here is that many immunocompromised people don't even know they're immunocompromised. Many Americans are obese and have type 2 diabetes, which causes a milder form of immunocompromise, and many Americans do not have primary care doctors, insurance, and so may not have that diagnosis and know that they should be taking extra precautions.
Listen, I know we're all sick of wearing a mask. I don't know anybody that likes to wear a mask. The other day I was on a plane, I tried to drink and forgot I had my mask on. That's how I've gotten to wearing it. But do you think that this ruling should be appealed, or should we all just move on, in your opinion?
The real question here is, what does this mean for the CDC's power to reimpose a mask mandate, say if we have another big surge next fall or winter, or say we have another pandemic? And so I do think you are likely to see this decision appealed to preserve those CDC powers for that what-if scenario.
And what do you think about a what-if scenario? Because we're still not out of this. Don't you think there's still more to come with this pandemic and COVID in general?
Yeah, there's certainly more to come. We know that this is a virus that mutates. In fact, it's mutating very rapidly. We will see more variants, and we will see other pandemics after COVID. So I do think the idea of stripping ourselves of an essential tool in the toolbox is a really bad idea. I think we do need to have that option at our disposal if we do face another crisis.
All right, Dr. Celine Gounder, we thank you very much. And please know, if you want to wear your mask, you can still do that. Thank you.
Turning now to the war in Ukraine, the government says Russia has launched a massive new offensive in the eastern part of the country. The regional governor of Kharkiv says more than a dozen people there were injured by a barrage of Russian rockets. Russian-occupied territory is now concentrated in the east and the south, but they do not have control of the key cities of Kharkiv or Mariupol. Chris Lipsey reports on this new phase of the war.
Russian troops have begun the battle for Donbas, says Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, setting the stage for major clashes of tanks and heavy artillery unlike anything we've seen since World War II, Ukraine says. It's a massive buildup in the eastern region of ongoing clashes, none more infamous than Mariupol. After weeks of resistance, now on the brink of doom, Russia has told its last diehard defenders, hold up in this steel mill, surrender or die. But they refuse to give up. Looking for hope in cities like Chernihiv, north of Kyiv, it too was besieged for weeks. But against all odds, it was a triumph for Ukraine. Last month, shooting down this Russian bomber. It crashed into this home, killing the owner, but shockingly, no more. Its payload failing to explode when it landed on Nikolai's doorstep.
So this is your house right over here. So it's just a matter of feet. That's unbelievable. He's so lucky.
Others were not so fortunate. Some 50 people were killed in this apartment building, one of the deadliest single strikes of the war. All of a sudden, I was covered in shattered glass, says Larissa. She takes me into her bunker, where these women have been hiding for more than a month. At one point, they could barely fit.
Here, 200 people were in here.
Now we have lights, she says, but for a long time, all we had were candles.
Are you afraid that they're going to come back?
The war goes on, she says. We're begging your country for more weapons. We don't know what's waiting for us out there.
And this morning, the same could be said anywhere in Ukraine. Moscow says it struck more than 1,200 targets overnight. Here in Kyiv, the air raid sirens have been sounding, with Vladimir Putin out to prove that even if his invasion is now concentrated on the east, nowhere in Ukraine is safe. Gail.
Oh, that's hard to hear. Thank you very much, Chris Lipsey, reporting from Ukraine. The newest Middle East violence has escalated with Palestinian militants firing a rocket into Israel overnight. Israel launching its first airstrikes on Gaza in months. Now, this follows several days of fighting between Palestinians and Israeli police at a holy site in Jerusalem. Chris Van Cleve is following the violence happening at a very difficult time.
Airstrikes light up the night sky over the Gaza Strip as tensions mount. The Israeli military says it was targeting a weapons manufacturing site belonging to Hamas and comes in response to a rocket fired into southern Israel. No injuries were reported. Violence has been escalating since Friday. Clashes between Palestinians and Israeli police have centered around the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, which is also the site of an ancient Jewish temple. It's the third most sacred site in Islam and the holiest for Jews. Sunday, police entered the compound to arrest Palestinians barricaded inside and blocked Muslim access to allow Jews and tourists to pray. The unrest comes at a rare convergence of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, Easter, and Passover, coupled with the first chance for crowds to gather at the holy site since the pandemic. The violence is prompting, quote, deep concern from the State Department.
We, as we did on Friday, continue to call on all sides to exercise restraint, to avoid provocative actions and rhetoric, and preserve the historic status quo on the Haram al-Sharif Temple Mount. We also continue to urge Israeli and Palestinian officials to work cooperatively to lower tensions and ensure the safety of everyone.
Clashes at the same site last May prompted an 11-day war, killing more than 200 before ending in a ceasefire. Now, a series of Palestinian attacks inside Israel have killed 14 in recent weeks, prompting Israeli raids in the West Bank, where at least 26 Palestinians have died.
Now, according to the State Department, U.S. diplomats have been in touch with their counterparts in the region trying to calm tensions. The United Nations Security Council is holding a closed-door meeting later today focused on the spike in violence. Nate?
Chris,
Thank you. In this country, the Easter and Passover holidays are not usually known for snow. But areas from Michigan to New England are getting hammered by a deadly winter-like nor'easter, with snow and sleet falling in many communities overnight. In Maryland, one man is dead and several people injured when wind gusts downed a tree onto this Annapolis home. People in parts of New York and New Jersey are worried about flooding due to strong winds and heavy rain. With more on this spring storm, let's bring in meteorologist Jim Cantore with our partners over at the Weather Channel. Jim, why are we talking about snow in the middle of April?
Holy smokes, Nate. In 24 hours, we have jumped right back into winter. What a huge change in Boston from what was a great Patriots Day in terms of the weather. Now we've gotten into wind and rain. I mean, it's hard to stand up out there. Look at this big storm working its way north with rain and wind on the east side. We got big snow on the west side. We've already got over a foot in many, many areas. We're going to go to 18 before all is said and done. We've got power outages that have topped a quarter of a million customers because of both the wind and the snow, which continues to pile up at the rear. We've even had thunder snow in the Adirondacks. So some of these areas that have gotten the big amounts, we're going to top out at about 18 before all is said and done. More to come today. Snow showers all the way down through West Virginia before things begin to pull that out and we get back to where we should be tomorrow. All day coverage, including our virtual view technology, is available only on the Weather Channel Television Network.
Jim, thank you. We appreciate you. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.